Sajda Lushtuke.
Your recording has started. You may now proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And welcome to the BC member call on the 14th of September, 2017. On the call today, we have Andy Abrams, Jimson Olafew, Steve DelBianco, Mark Dadisgild, Andrew Harris, Susan Kawaguchi, Claudia Martinuzzi, Marie Petullo, Allison Simpson, Chris Wolfman, Philip Corwin, Stephanie Deschanel, Marilyn Cade, and Andrew Mack. We have listed apologies from Barbara Warner and John Villard. From staff, we have myself, Terry Agnew, and Chantel Dirksen will be joining us here shortly. I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording and transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Steve DelBianco. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry. Could you please load the policy calendar, the updated one circulated last night? There were two of them sent yesterday. I was able to update once I saw the final agenda for the council meeting. And Terry, just let me check to see if you've got the right one loaded. Thank you, you do. I appreciate that. So on page one of the policy calendar, we've only posted one comment since our last BC meeting, and that was the 31st of August. We sent a letter to the ICANN CEO and the board. This was regarding the overall approach that ICANN is taking to try to reconcile the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, with WHOIS. Denise Michelle, thanks to you for leading this effort, and I think you had excellent collaboration from Stephanie Deschanel and Susan Kawaguchi. That went up on the 31st of August. It's on the ICANN website under correspondence because it wasn't a public comment period. And the board has not yet responded to our letter itself. Let me move to the current set of open public comments. We have four that are open right now. The first one is the statistical analysis of DNS abuse. Terry, I'll ask you to please load the PDF I circulated this morning, which is a clean copy. This is a report prepared by outside consultants at the request of the Competition Consumer Trust Consumer Choice Review Team. We call that the CCTRT. This is a review team created by the ICANN Affirmation of Commitments and then later into the bylaws. It's a review of the new GTLD expansion, and it includes a look at whether we've enhanced those elements of choice, competition, and trust. But it also is charged to review the safeguards that were put in place to mitigate issues involved in the expansion of the GTLD space. So on that particular question, the CCTRT asked for outside experts to prepare a report. And it's a lengthy report that does an analysis of findings on that conclude with, including this conclusion, that new GTLDs have become a growing target for malicious actors. I wanted to thank Waudo Siganga, who's on the CCT review team, for doing an initial draft. And then Stephanie Deschanel, Jimson, and Margie Milam have added edits to that document. Now, Waudo, as the primary drafter, forwarded the latest to BC Private this morning. And what I've asked Terry to do in the Adobe chat is to load a clean copy. Since those of the rest of you on the call, it's a little difficult to read through all the different edits. The clean copy is only 4 pages long. It's there on the screen in front of you. And the reason I want to discuss it on this call is that this comment period closes next Tuesday, the 19th of September. So what it is fine to do back and forth on email for the next 4 days. But I am much more interested in hearing feedback from those of you on the call and those who've made comments on the edit while we have the document loaded. So I'll take a cue with those of you who've made edits that you want to talk about. Margie, you had at least one comment that didn't result in an edit. And I did want to reiterate something that Margie Milam said in her edits, that this document, the audience, the primary audience for our comment is the CCT review team. And in the best of all worlds, our comments would direct the CCT review team to emphasize certain elements of it and when they come up with their final recommendation on whether safeguards have been adequate. So Marilyn Cade, you're first. Go ahead. Not hearing you, Marilyn. Unable to hear Marilyn. So if you want to put it in the chat, Marilyn, right, that would be fine as well.
Can you hear me now?
Now, yes, now we do.
Okay, sorry, on one of the bullet points, I'm just going to suggest we use, instead of bullets, numbers. That'll make it easier for us all to comment, but that's why I took the floor. There's a bullet that reads, while the introduction of new GTLDs does not appear to have increased the aggregate amount of abuse in the DNS, there was an observed decrease in the number of malicious registrations in legacy GTLDs. But that bullet, I think we should remove that because that bullet actually is not meaningful. The big point is the next bullet. New GTLDs experienced a rate of abuse almost 10 times higher than the rate experienced in new GTLDs. So we need to fix that. Maybe it means 10 times higher than the rate in legacy GTLDs. I'll spend more time on this, but those two bullets kind of stuck out to me. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but back in San Juan, the last time we met in Puerto Rico, I presented a major report on cyber squatting and kiting and abuse. And, you know, I think we need to continue the mantle on this. But those two bullets, and I'll spend a little more time on the rest of it, those two bullets stuck out to me, one to be deleted, one to be clarified. And again, I'll send my comments by email.
Marilyn, when we do, I mean, at the end of this call, I will circulate another draft that includes revisions that have been accepted by Wahudo and the team so that we can pick it up from there as opposed to having all the edits from the last 3 days in the way. So I'll circulate that after the call, but thank you, Marilyn, for those comments. Denise Michelle, please. Not hearing you, Denise. Denise, are you there? While Denise is trying to get off of mute, I bet we caught her during her morning commute, I wanted to indicate that pages 2, 3, and 4 of this four-page report are where the real meat is because the BC is making four specific recommendations, starting at the bottom of page 2, the overall statement. We asked for complete increased compliance scrutiny on registries with the highest abuse rates. We ask for future abuse studies to be conducted, and they would include additional breakdowns of abuse by TLD and by registry. We ask for linking of incentives for good practices to handle abuse. This is a theme the BC pursued in an earlier comment. And then finally, we ask ICANN to endeavor to address abuse effectively. And the hope is that all of these would be well received by Wahudo and the rest of the CCTRT and make their way into their final report. When the final report comes out from CCTRT, it will also be subject to public comments. So the work that's being done here, we'll be able to dust it off and bring it back in on our public comments. But by far, the most effective way that we can steer this ship is to have the CCTRT embrace some of our comments in the way that they make their recommendations. It's a lot easier to get a changed now than it is to try to prevail during a public comment period. Denise, are you able to connect yet? All right, not hearing. Marilyn Cade asks in the chat if there are SSAC reports that would support us on any of this. My guess, Marilyn, is no, that the SSAC has not done extensive analysis of the new GTLDs specifically, but we'll check on that. Chris Wilson, the new clean copy, I'll send that right now, but if you give me a chance, I'll send it after the call to incorporate something that Marilyn brought up, and I'll send that clean copy around, and I promise to do that after the call. Wahudo, since I have you on the line, too, I inferred that since you circulated the edits from Stephanie, Jimson, and Margie, that you as the drafter were comfortable with those edits as they stood. If I've got that wrong, Wauda, be sure to let me know. On chat, it's fine. Denise, if you have voice, you can say it now. If not, we'll go to Stephanie. Go ahead, Stephanie. I think we just lost Stephanie. Denise, are you there?
Sorry, can you hear me?
We do. Go ahead.
Sorry, it just took me a minute to connect my mic. Well, I don't want to edit live. I just want to strongly disagree with Marilyn's concerns around the first bullet. I think the conclusion about there being no change in the aggregate level of abuse is one of the most interesting and important findings from the report. Without sort of challenging the fact that there are impacts on distribution relative to, like, relatively speaking, between new GTLDs and legacy GTLDs. So I really don't feel comfortable removing it. And having spoken with colleagues internally who sit on the FSAC and the CCTRT in reviewing this, to both of them, that was one of the most interesting conclusions to come out of the report. So I have a hard time sort of wrapping my head around the argument that it's a meaningless finding.
Stephanie, what Marilyn did indicate, the very next bullet probably has a typo in it. The new GTLDs.
Yeah, and that I'm happy to take a look at. It was the point about the first bullet that I didn't really understand.
I understand, and it's not for us to omit something that was actually in the report, and it does provide a counterpoint, a counterbalance too. Stephanie, anything further from you?
That's it. I still have to take a look at some of the subsequent edits to the draft, but I'll do so.
Fantastic. Thank you, Stephanie. Denise Michelle, do you have a voice connection yet?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
We do. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Yes, I think it's important to keep in mind that the purpose of our comments is to provide additional perspectives and especially advice to the CCT review team for their follow-on action on this report. And so, unfortunately, Margie had a conflict and is not able to be on this call. She had a number of suggested additions to the comments, and we look forward to working with our colleagues on evolving this draft as well. I think overall, though, I wanted to just share a couple of observations. I think overall that this report doesn't really deliver on the promise to discuss the effectiveness of the safeguards that were introduced by the new GTLD programs. And I think if those safeguards were effective, we would expect to see a lower level of malicious registrations in the new GTLDs than in the legacy GTLDs. The opposite, though, is true. Which I think at the very least deserves more focus and some recommendations from the CCT review team on safeguards needed to ensure effectiveness. I'm also concerned about the methodology that was used in the report. I was disappointed to see that they were using a sampling methodology of GTLD data rather than actually scanning the entire zone. You know, given the initial results that we found with this report, I think that it's, to me, an indication that we need to do to have a different approach, a more deeper research that scans and analyzes the whole zones for TLDs. I think I'll leave it there, but I think the BC in particular is an important voice that can add more specific ideas for the CCT review team to consider as follow-up actions on this DNS abuse study, both in repeating this study in a deeper and richer way annually, and also taking some of the conclusions and lessons learned from this report and making sure that they're effectively incorporated in the CCT review team's final recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Denise, as you indicated, this report does not address the adequacy or effectiveness of mitigation, but only the presence of abuse. And given that they concluded there is a higher abuse than in the legacies, that says that to the extent there were any mitigation techniques, they haven't been effective enough to stop a significantly higher rate of abuse. I do think that your point about the statistics, though, we should ask you that after I send around a new clean copy, you'll be able to go to page 4, last paragraph, which is the endeavor to address abuse effectively. And that would be a place where you could add a line or two to that paragraph with your recommendations for subsequent work that looks at the effectiveness, because you're quite correct. This was not an effectiveness report, but a statistical incidence report that has some implication about effectiveness, for sure. Did you want to come back on that, Denise?
Yeah, that's a good point, Steve, and we'll definitely provide some more text for consideration on that. And that actually reminded me of another point. It's obvious from this report that more information is definitely needed about the correlation between price and abuse. This is something that the business constituency has raised before in public comments on other and related topics. Clearly, the researchers didn't have systemic access to prices offered by registrars, and as a result, this element of the analysis is quite underdeveloped, despite the clear indication for several years now that giving away domains or offering domains for extremely cheap prices leads to a significant spike in abusive registrations. A lack of access to this data, and not including this data, is an important omission. So I think there's some additional advice that the BC, which we've given before, we can also give on this point, as well as how critical it is for ICANN staff and researchers to have full access to the data that's needed to fully understand what's going on in the GTLD space. Thanks.
David Sander, are you still there?
Yes, Andrew, thank you. So I'd see another hand up for Mark Dadesgeld. Go ahead, Mark.
Can you hear me, Steve?
Try it again, Mark.
Can you hear me now?
Mark, if you're on a speakerphone or something, please pick up. It's too noisy to understand you. Mark, while you're getting organized, please hit mute. Mark, could you hit mute, please? Thank you, Mark. While Mark is getting sorted out, I wanted to ask that if we have criticisms of what was done, let's try to couch those in terms of recommendations for CCTRT to remedy the criticisms and the work it does in its final report, since it's unlikely that these consultants would fix the shortcomings in a report they've already completed. So, Mark, if you have an adequate connection, we're happy to have you go on voice. Go ahead, Mark.
Can you hear me now, okay?
Yes, it's extremely difficult to understand, so try, and I'll stop you if it's too hard to hear you. Mark, can you put it into the chat, please? And please understand you'll have an opportunity to respond via email over the next 4 days as we finalize the BC comment. Terry, would you please, or Chantel, would you please reload the policy calendar? And I'll go to the second one, The second item is a comment that's due the 2nd of October, so it's quite a ways out, and that is where ICANN is asking for feedback about proposed dates for ICANN meetings between 2021 and 2023. And I asked members of the VC to let me know if you are aware of conflicts with holidays or other business meetings that far out, and if you do, I'll be happy to gather those and send an email, a note and a reply from the VC. The next one is the proposed renewal of a sponsored top-level domain called .museum. We discussed this on our last call. Comments closed the 3rd of October, and in the new agreement, we get rid of the designation of a sponsored top-level domain, and instead we call it a community top-level domain, and it brings in several provisions from the new registry agreement, including uniform rapid suspension implementation, about which the BC has a position, and we'll be able to articulate that. Phil Corwin has volunteered to help to review and make some BC recommendations. I know we have time on this, but it would be helpful if other BC members would assist. Phil Corwin carries a very significant load for us as our counselor and a member of a couple of working groups. Who else can assist in the review of the .museum agreement? Phil Corwin, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Just for the information of other BC members, the part of this proposed renewal relating to URS is fairly easy to draft. We can just lift the language from previous comments on URS coming in on renewal agreements while the RPM review working group is still considering the URS and whether it should be consensus. But the media issue here is that ICANN GDD in this renewal has adopted a definition of community which is at very wide variance with the very tight definition of community that was used to review new TLD applications under the proposed definition of community. In this renewal agreement, it would include people who use museums, that is, people who go to museums. So essentially, it's converting what was once a sponsored TLD into a pretty much a wide-open TLD, and that's the new aspect in which assistance would be greatly appreciated, given my council work and my co-chair role on two working groups. Thanks.
And Mark, thank you, Philip. Mark Gattisgeld just answered to Andrew that he'd be willing to help as well on that. Do we have any other volunteers? All right, thank you very much, Phil. The fourth one are changes to the charter for the non-commercial users constituency, the NCUC. And the NCUC dominates the non-commercial stakeholders group that makes up half of our non-contract party house in GNSO. If we do comment on that, we have volunteers from the last call, which included John Berard, Marilyn Cade, and Tola. All said they would volunteer on looking over that charter change to see whether the BC would have a point of view on that. So I'll stop to see if John, Marilyn, or Tola, do you have any initial thoughts on that? And if not, I'll follow up after the call to prompt an initial draft. Okay, I'm hearing from... Go ahead.
Tola?
Go ahead, Tola.
Oh, okay, yeah. We've had a call. We've gone over two different initial drafts. We're supposed to have submitted the initial draft today prior to this meeting, but we couldn't do that for some reason. But hopefully immediately after this meeting, we'll be able to turn in the initial draft. We got the draft already, we're working on.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Tola. Thank you and John and Marilyn for that. We'll look for that after the the call. Take your time. Okay, that's it for the current list of comments. Let me next move to the GDPR and who is. The first part of the policy calendar on this was a recap of the work that was begun in Johannesburg on a task force, a matrix of user stories and use cases, and, of course, the letter that Denise Michelle, Stephanie, and Susan put together. We also noted that ICANN Management just earlier this week posted an update on GDPR and WHOIS. There's a link to it in my policy calendar. Now, that update comes from management, Teresa Swinehart and Akram Abdallah, and they no longer seem to call it a task force, but rather set out a series of things that are going to be moving ahead on this, including a panel on GDPR at ICANN 60. So the business constituency was among the groups who requested that the high-interest cross-community topic at ICANN 60 include a GDPR session. Our wishes were granted, right? And so we now have a panel that's going to be on Friday, the 2nd of November, on GDPR. Now, we were only among the groups requesting it. Their opportunity is in front of us, though, to take a significant leadership role in planning the panel, how to structure the topic, and who to invite as panelists. I want to remind you that the IPC, the ISPs, Tola, I think you need to hit mute. The IPC, the ISPs, the GAC, and the CCNSO are all interested in this topic. And it was the ALEC that helped to lead a session at the previous ICANN meeting on GDPR. This is an outstanding opportunity to discuss whether members on this phone have ideas about whom to put onto that panel and how to structure it. I'm not saying we'll get our way, but we can take a leadership role. I'll take a cue on how we might do it. I'll start by seating you with a question. We had a European Commission attorney on the very last panel at the previous ICANN meeting who I thought was very articulate about interpretation of the GDPR. And I'm wondering whether we want to have her invited back for this panel. Those of you that were at ICANN 59 can weigh in. I'd appreciate it. Denise, I see your hand up.
Yes, thanks, Steve. Yes, I think Abigail Slater was a useful panelist the last time we had a GDPR panel, which was, I think, we had her on the panel, which was the meeting before the last meeting. I think another potential option might be Susan Kawaguchi, who's also a co-chair of the RDS-PDP working group that has been very involved in this issue, as well as, of course, being a counselor and a BC member. And I'd be happy to continue to brainstorm on the BC email list on this matter. I'd also like to use this as a stepping off point to comment on the GDPR, the CEO's GDPR blog post. I think, and thanks, Steve, for bringing that to our attention. I think it's stunning in its disregard for the BC's comments, a letter that we sent to the CEO and the chairman of the board. I think a topic that should now be put on the BC table, so to speak, is what do we do next? So we have a very explicit letter that was sent to the CEO and the chairman of the board on this topic. We haven't received a response, although it hasn't been that long, but at the same time, with very specific opinions and recommendations from the BC, the CEO chose to apparently ignore that and post the blog that in part runs counter to what the BC thinks should be done in this area. So I think I would recommend that we have a BC discussion or perhaps a discussion on the email list of what would be the appropriate next step for the BC on this matter, particularly on the matter of how the community works together and how the staff is coordinated with the community and its interactions with EU regulators on this issue. And that could be anything from having the BC chair post a comment on the blog post and send an email to the CEO on this matter, to putting this on our agenda and the CSG agenda and asking for the chair and the CEO to come address this topic with us in Abu Dhabi. But I would suggest that we not wait for Abu Dhabi to be more active on this issue. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. We have an opportunity to try to tee up the agenda for the session. And when we do that, we could make it so that part of the session talks about how are we going to solve this problem, and then part of the session talks about what the solution might be. That would give us an opportunity to go into that community perspective we've had in our letter. Susan Kawaguchi, you're next.
Hi, thank you very much. One of the things we're finding on the RDS working group and this whole, we have Wilson Sonsini did some analysis that will be distributed next week. We're waiting for the final draft of that, and so everybody will see that. But an legal analysis of the GDPR, and based on the questions that the RDS working group posed to the DPAs at the ICANN 59. So those, in my opinion, were our best work on questions, but it is what it is. So some of that will not, that analysis came out in a way that is not as favorable for the BC stance, in my opinion. It's not final, so I can't share that with you yet. But I really think if there is a panel at the next ICANN meeting, then it should also weigh consumer protection. So if we could find an expert in EU consumer protection, then that might be a way to balance a panel put on by ICANN. The other
That sounds brilliant. So let me put a call out to anyone on this call about whether we know an articulate and knowledgeable consumer protection advocate, maybe even an official from the European theater. That's a great idea, Susan. Thank you. Go ahead.
No problem. And then last night, late, I received an email through, I'm on the RDS review team, and Alan Greenberg, who chairs the team, it forwarded an email to the to all of us, and it was an invite from ICANN to all the SOs and ACs, and I don't know that the BC has seen this yet. I don't know if it just went to the GNSO council or, you know, to James, or it was actually broken down to all the stakeholder groups, inviting representatives to a meeting in Brussels with the DPAs the first week of October. We found that we had an RDS call early this morning and found this interesting, and Catherine from the PSWG also noted that, yes, the DPAs were meeting in Brussels that week and along with the review team, we're not meeting with them, but, you know, we're going to be there basically at the same time. But she thought it was very ambitious to think that the DPAs would take the time to meet with ICANN and parts of the community. But that invite is out there, so I can forward that to the BC. I should have done that earlier. They were asking the representatives. What was
Please do. I was going to say, please forward that right away, and then I'll start a separate thread for us to organize on how to structure the panel and to try to take the lead on that and who to invite. But remember, we can't do this alone. ICANN staff let us know again this morning they will not allow a single group to run one of these cross-community topics. It has to be collaborative. And, in fact, that was a complaint the BC had two meetings ago when a single group, the NCUC, organized an entire panel on taking down illegal content. So I think we'll have to collaborate with others, but we still need to come up with ideas that we can start the conversation with.
Right. But also this meeting that may or may not happen in the first week of October in Brussels, we should make sure there's adequate representation. Alan has already requested that review team members, since we will be in Brussels, also be included in that meeting if it happens. So I'm there for the week anyway. I can attend if it goes forward. So we've got two different things we need to work on: the representation of the BC at that meeting in October, and then the panel.
Thanks, Susan. I look forward to your follow-on note with respect to the October meeting. All right, everyone, let me move to the next item, which is contractual compliance and consumer safeguards. You realize that ICANN has hired a new person in charge of consumer safeguards. His name is Brian Schilling. We met him at the BC meeting when we gathered in South Africa. He followed up to that meeting by reaching out to the BC for more information. He realizes we feel strongly about it and had a lot of specific information. And that is where I attempted to get him to understand that consumer safeguards is part of the affirmation of commitments and bylaws, and in a way it tees things up for the CCT review team. Brian had just announced this week that they're going to hold a webinar on the 25th of September on his initiative to address complaints such as the ones we brought up. He has three items that he wanted to talk about. First is to do inventories of existing safeguards. The second is types of DNS abuse that would fall within ICANN's remit. This would be very helpful for the BC to weigh in on. And then gaps between ICANN's capabilities that have to be filled perhaps by other entities within the community. That webinar will be on the 25th of September. I have a link to the announcement in the policy calendar. I would encourage any and all BC members concerned about consumer safeguards to join that webinar. We don't have to go in there with a single BC position, but it would be better if a lot of BC members would contribute. Out of that September 25th webinar, Brian will then tee things up for how he presents at ICANN 60. Thank you. The next item on here was the Accountability and Transparency Review, ATRT number 3. There are 26 applicants for the 21 slots, and Tola, Adetola Sogavzan, is our BC nominee. Susan, you chair the committee that is making the recommendation, and there's a resolution coming up at the next council meeting. Do you have anything to report on what the committee may recommend?
Yes. We had 9 GNSO candidates, and so recommended 7, although only the top 3 are we guaranteed seats. Unfortunately, for Adetola, and I tried really hard, Adetola, but he was not selected in the top 3. We have had pretty good luck with representation from the BC on review teams. What I am concerned about with the selection committee is that they seem to support known players more than known community members, more than sort of providing a balance of gender diversity and geographical diversity. And, you know, we need new people to step forward and do this work, and that is happening, but I could not convince them that we needed to, at least put one newer person in on the top 3. So that list went out to the GNSO Council yesterday. I'm trying to remember Brian Cutie, Stefan Van Gelder, and one more, and I'm just flaking on the name as the top 3. So, but I will keep harping on the fact that gender diversity and geographical diversity, and the fact that we need to give opportunities to newer members of the community that may not be as well known, so that they can spread their wings and learn the ropes and have the opportunity to participate.
Thank you, Susan. The opportunity sometimes emerges because another of the ACs and SOs declines to put people in. For instance, let's suppose that just for sake of argument, the address supporting organization only has 1 or 2 nominees for this. And if that's the case, then slots open up, and it's the chairs of the ACs and SOs that have the opportunity to fill those slots from nominations like the one the GNSO is putting in. So the GNSO may get more than just 3, especially if you make a strong case for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's it for the policy calendar board and channel 1.
But
go ahead, sorry.
Sorry.
Marilyn, is that
you? Yes, Marilyn. I just had a question. Yeah, it is. I have a question. Let me turn my printer off. I have a question quickly. Thank you so much, Susan, for what you've tried to do on bringing a BC member, a new member, forward. But can I just ask you, and it doesn't have to be real time, but could you post to the list
Stefan Van Gelder is not a DC member and has not been now for a couple of years. He's actually an officer in the contracted party house. I'm not being
right.
negative. I'm just asking, you know, were any of the three nominees from the from our house and from our SG? Because if not, I think we need to start thinking about a different approach to make sure we have experts from our community nominated as independent experts if we can't get them through the formal process. Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Independent experts is something that they would have to have chosen. So the GNSO doesn't make that decision about the independent experts. And Tola was the only CSG member to be among the 26 original nominees. So, Susan, let me ask you to respond to anything else Marilyn asked in the chat, because we're going to run out of time, and I'm taking up the entire calendar. The last item I have before turning it over to Susan and Phil on council is to let you all know that BC member Amazon posted on Circle ID this week regarding a request for the board to take action on the .Amazon and some IDN TLDs, and Amazon explains the extent to which it followed the guidebook and attempted to work out concerns that certain governments raised, and is asking ICANN to move forward with a decision. So that is worth a good read. I put a link to it in the policy counter. That's worth a read by every BC member. And it's something that I think comports with the BC's attention to the guidebook, suggesting that if an applicant followed the guidebook and scored well, that applicant deserved the chance to get their domain name. Any comments on that from Andrew or Chris? Okay, let me move to Susan and Phil.
Steve, before you move forward to Marilyn, I really object to the BC engaging in any comments about an individual award of a GTLD. So let me just put that on the record. I'm not picking on anyone, but we are not. We're the user community. We should not be spending our time on advancing other issues, which companies are more than welcome to advance through the official process.
Thank you, Marilyn. You're quite correct. The BC is about process here, and if a company followed the process and scored well and has addressed objections, then the process should be followed. That would be the only extent of BC interest in an individual company's application. So, Susan and Phil, would you please take over for Channel 2 on council? You'll see that I put in prior resolutions from August 24th. We've already covered those, so you can probably just jump to the limited agenda items for the 20th of September meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Phil here. BC members can see what's on the draft agenda for the next council meeting on 20th of September, next Wednesday. But I wanted to call your attention to one in particular. This is item 4. It's the data collection request from the RPM Review PDP Working Group. I'm one of the co-chairs. J. Scott Evans of the BC is another one of the co-chairs. This is about a new acronym you should all be learning called the Data and Metrics for Policy Making, the DMPM. And in the fall of 2015, Council approved all and adopted all the consensus recommendations from the DMPM working group, which basically said that to the maximum extent feasible, working group policy recommendations should be grounded in data. So that's what, and subsequently a form was created for submission to council to keep it updated on working group use of data, as well as any requests for additional support needed. So that's what we're doing here. We are the guinea pigs. We are the first working group to submit this form for council approval in the form of a motion. And also what we're doing is also consistent with recommendations of the CCT review, which talked about the need for data-based recommendations. We've got some pushback, particularly from the subsequent procedures working group and from some members of the council leadership who are concerned not so much about the money we're requesting, which council won't decide that. We've asked for $50,000 to engage professional survey designers and collectors to collect the data we need to make reasoned judgments on Sunrise registration and trademark claims RPMs. But the fact that this might delay a subsequent round, first of all, we're trying to comply with this new data policy here, and we don't think this will delay somewhat our reaching final recommendations on Sunrise and claims notices. But while this survey work is going on, we can be turning to the URS and using our time on that. So there will be some gap. We don't know how much gap there will be between us and subsequent procedures, but also preliminary work on a subsequent round can go forward before our final report is adopted. But this is an important test for the Council of whether it's going to really back up this DMPM consensus recommendations and approve the motion from the first working group that's submitting this request. I'm working with the other co-chairs and staff to prepare a basically an executive summary of our request. That should be done today, and I'll be happy to share it with BC members. But this is a first-time test of this new DMPM recommendations, and we'll see what council does. I'm hopeful they'll approve the motion, which will be presented by Heather Forrest, who's council liaison to our working group, but I will be speaking to it, and the other two co-chairs will also be on that part of the council call to answer any questions. I don't have much to say about the other items on next week's agenda, so I defer to Susan whether she has any comments on that or anything else going on in council.
Susan?
No, I think that's it.
Fantastic. Thanks, everyone. Apologies for having the policy calendar take so much time. Andrew, back to you.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thanks, Phil and Susan. It's been a rich conversation. I know we're really time-stretched, so I'm going to try to go briefly. Chantel, there have been a few small updates in the CSG planning for Abu Dhabi. Do you want to talk very briefly about where we are in terms of the schedule?
Hi, Andrew. Sure. It's Chantel. I'm just opening up the schedule now. In terms of since when we last provided the meeting list during the last meeting, I can confirm that the BC is going to have their open and closed meeting both on Tuesday, the closed being the first session from 9 to 10:15, and then the open session being from 15:15 to 16:30. So the BC will have two blocks with a 15-minute break. And then on the CSG side, we have the CSG open meeting for Tuesday at 10:30. We're going to have a CSG meeting with the GNSO board appointed members, or the GNSO, yes, the GNSO appointed board members, excuse me, on Saturday, October 28th. That's changed. It's no longer going to be from 8 to 8:50. It's only going to be 8:30 to 9 a.m. due to the board schedule and the firm start of 8:30, which the meeting team is enforcing. So unfortunately, that's been shortened to 30 minutes. We have the CSU closed meeting for Sunday, October 29th at 1700 hours to 1830. Then we have the CSU GAC lunch, which is not confirmed, for Tuesday. Lunch period, 12:15 to 13:15. There's a tentative CSU CPH stakeholder meeting on Wednesday from 10:30 to 12. And then there's a tentative meeting for the CSG NCPH, which we're looking at doing Thursday evening, but that overlaps with the wrap-up cocktail, so more information will be forthcoming on that. And once these are finalized, which should be within the next couple of weeks, we'll be sending out a schedule to the BC. Thanks, and I'm happy to take any questions on that.
Okay, can I suggest, in the interest of time, that you just pass around that schedule as it is, to the membership for any comment. I'm just mindful of the fact that we're getting near the top of the hour. If anybody has any quick questions, drop your hand up right now. Otherwise, I'm going to pass it over to Jimson for a somewhat abbreviated operations and finance report. Jimson, please go ahead. Jimson, are you there?
Hi, Andrew. It looks like Jim's line has been disconnected. The operator is calling back.
Okay. Well, why don't we give another 30 seconds real quick, because I think he's got a big role here. While we're waiting for Jensen, does anybody want to post in the chat any other business that they're looking AOB that they've got on their minds? Okay. Seeing none, Chantel, can we get Jensen back?
They're dialing him now. It should be about 1 minute more, if that.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Hi, this is Jensen.
Yes, sir, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please. If you can go ahead, give us a brief update on Operations Finesse.
Yes, thank you, Andy. It just happens that once it's 1 hour that I'm connected, I get disconnected, so I have to be connected back again. I don't have much on my slate. Just to say that maybe about 10 members are yet to really respond to renewing their membership. Now, so we're still following them up, and by the next meeting, we'll be able to finalize on the state of membership in terms of the members in good standing. But if anyone still have an issue or the other, let me know. New members, yes, we have new members coming in. So far, about 5 new members, just as we're suspecting maybe 10 might be withdrawing. There are new members still coming in, and that emphasizes the need for us to focus on our outreach. So as is normal for some to exit, and also some should come in. Is part of the dynamism of any leading organization. Well, on elections, officers' election is scheduled for November, and notice should be coming out, as I've earlier announced, on mid of October, mid next month. But there is a decision awaiting ESCOM verdict concerning whether we can bring this forward. Because of the intercessional February 1 to 2, thinking maybe it may be better to start early so that new officers that may need to secure visas will have enough time to secure it. Because once officers resume or election finishes December, maybe 8 to 10, there might not be sufficient time. So, those will be posted on the final decision by next meeting. Okay, so that is briefly about that, and maybe outreach activity. Maybe Andrew can speak to some other outreach event that might be coming up. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Jensen. And just to clarify your last question, the issue that we're trying to finalize is whether or not we move our BC elections forward so that we harmonize with the ICANN calendar, which is requiring that we get people together for things like the intercessional, where we can't say who's going to be part of that until later in the year and we need to know. Is that correct?
Yes, basically.
Okay. Well, if you can forward that to membership so that we understand exactly what the issue and what our options are, that would be great. I would like to avoid to put ourselves on a calendar that makes this as easy as possible for the BC to be fully represented, because I know that is a big issue for us. I'm going to give in two quick breaths where some things that are happening in on the outreach side. BC has been asked to participate in an outreach event in Brazil that Nivaldo has said he would like to attend, and they have asked me to attend via remotely via Skype, which I plan to do. And so we will get you more information about that as soon as it happens. That's planned for the 25th of September. And lastly, there is a new BC outreach plan that's going forward, and we've gotten great responses from some of the members of XCOM. If you are an XCOM member who has not commented, please get your comments in. We'd like to finalize that by the end of the week if we can, so we can move forward. We appreciate all of the work that has been done by the Outreach Committee and the pen holders on that to give us a lot of good work. That's all I have for, yes, Marilyn, we should get a written proposal for the outreach. From my side, there's no cost. It's not, they just asked me to dial in. In terms of any other business, do I see any other hands? We are right at the top of the hour then, and I'm going to say thank you very much to everybody. We're covering an awful lot. Let's try to use the list as much as we possibly can to get some of the reporting out as early as we can so that we can use these times to focus, as I think we have done nicely today, on the issues that are in question. And let's keep moving forward. There will be a lot of things coming forward over the next few weeks as we prepare for Abu Dhabi, so be looking in your inboxes. Thank you all very much, and have a great day from my side. Marilyn, quick hand up, please.
Very quick. I just think that Chantel has been gathering information about who's attending, and even if she can't comment now, perhaps we could just ask her to post that update. Thanks.
A great suggestion. To the extent that you know that you're going to be attending Abu Dhabi, by all means, please get that in to everyone. The more and the better we can coordinate when we're at these meetings face-to-face, the more effective we're going to be. Thank you. Great point. Great. Then, Chantel, thank you very much I think we can stop the recording and appreciate everyone's time. We'll be speaking with you soon.
Thanks, everyone. Operator, you may now stop the recording. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and enjoy the rest of your day.